Welcome to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity, a podcast about identity, healing, and honest conversations for those who feel deeply, think differently, and live uniquely. My name is Matt, and I'm glad you're here. There was a time when I didn't recognize the person in the mirror, a body that had carried me through years of abuse, pain, and survival, no longer felt like it belonged to me. I saw an ugly stranger staring back in the mirror, marked not by visible scars, but by the weight of everything I'd endured. For years, I lived in that disconnection, until I started the journey that I'm on. Welcome back. Today's episode is one of the most personal that I've shared, because this is the story of my skin, of tattoos not just as art, but as a tool of reclamation. Tools that helped me take back what trauma and other people tried to steal, my identity. Tattoos for many are about style, self-expression, or identity. But for trauma survivors, tattoos can be a way of reclaiming the body after it's been violated or alienated. Psychological research supports this. A 2015 study published in the International Journal of Dermatology found that tattoos can significantly help individuals improve their body image and regain agency after trauma. Clinical psychologists like Dr. Nina Schiller have written about the therapeutic ritual of tattooing, a conscious act of choosing pain, choosing transformation, and choosing to make your story visible. As I said earlier, for years, my body never felt like it belonged to me. It's been a battlefield. The scars of a past marked and shaped it into something else. They weren't always visible, yet there was no doubt in my mind that they were there. Etched into my memory, the scars became a part of me and the reason that my reflection has felt unbearable. My first tattoo was a spur-of-the-moment decision in a Wetherspoons with a childhood best friend and something to, very effectively, annoy my parents by doing. Although I think they still find it a bit annoying when I appear with a new one, it's no longer about that. Now it's about something much deeper. Each new piece that I choose not only becomes a work of art, but also each new piece becomes a step towards me reclaiming myself. I can rewrite the story of my own body in this way, cover over the scars or fill up the empty spaces with what had been taken away from me over time. By making it a permanent wearable display, not only does my story become one that can no longer be changed by the manipulation and lies of others, but it comes a shield from that trauma. My story becomes my armor and a tool that allows me to look in the mirror once more. But beyond that, each tattoo has come to stand as a metaphor for a part or period of my life. A way to record lessons learned, pain along that path, and growth towards hopefully a brighter future. Tattoos have long served as a means of marking identity, belonging, and healing. Among psychologists who have studied this in depth or from their own experience, they find that many survivors use tattooing to regain control of themselves after repeated assaults by others. In a sense, you learn to separate your body from you. You can think of your body as becoming a stranger to yourself after trauma, so that it was something that occurred to the isolation of you rather than something that occurred to you, the individual. Tattoos help you to bridge this chasm. The pain of the needle is controlled, expected, not like the pain of abuse, which comes on unexpectedly and often feels suffocating. The art itself becomes a symbol, a physical translation of something words just can't touch. After an existence where for years I felt I had no power, whether through abuse and manipulation, misunderstanding what I stand for, or just being cut off from understanding altogether, permanently marking my own skin becomes an act symbolizing defiance. It is me loudly saying, this is my story. Every tattoo that I wear is a chapter, a lesson, a piece of who I was, who I am today, and who I might one day become. They aren't just random designs. They're a mythology woven into my own endurance. A running theme through a lot of my blog pieces or podcasts has been metaphor. I bloody love a good metaphor, and that's something I lean into heavily with my tattoos, using metaphors and mythology to tell my story. The theme of my right arm sleeve is Medusa. Medusa was cursed not because of what she did, but because of what was done to her. He was turned into something monstrous by those who should have protected him. There was a time where I felt like a Medusa, like I had been turned to stone by the weight of trauma, unable to move forward, paralyzed by what had happened to me. People saw a hardened exterior and they mistook it for strength, but they didn't understand the grief behind it. The Medusa tattoo is what this part of me is, the part that had to become something unrecognizable to survive, but it also represents a reclaiming of power. I will not be anyone else's victim anymore. If I must be a monster in someone else's story, then so be it, but it'll be one of my own creating. I then interwove the story of Icarus, the story of not listening to cautions. Side note, when I told my mum I was getting an Icarus tattoo, she just nodded and said, makes sense. Icarus's story is one of arrogance, one of hearing the warnings from others but thinking, nah, that won't happen to me. This time it'll be different. Icarus flew too close to the sun, disregarding the warnings, believing that he was able to take what he wasn't prepared for. His downfall was inevitable. This story resonates with me on levels that wouldn't really leave me alone. Because I too have ignored warnings, continue to ignore warnings. I didn't attempt to fly to the sun, but instead I entered situations with people believing that I could handle them. Not seeing danger or just arrogantly ignoring the red flags. And like Icarus, I fell. The difference is, I'm still here. My fall didn't quite kill me. It did change me. This tattoo is, in fact, both a reminder and an attempt to reclaim. A recognition of my past mistakes, but also my refusal to allow them to define me. Hopefully sometime soon I'll learn from them as well. On the other side of this arm I used Atlas from Greek mythology, a man condemned to bear the weight of the heavens upon his shoulders, an eternal burden that he didn't choose, but one he could never put down. And that image speaks to me because living inside my own mind often feels the same. I carry the weight of thoughts that spiral, emotions that don't settle, memories that press heavy against my spine. It isn't just the weight of past trauma, it's the constant pressure of processing everything differently. It's the overstimulation burden I've spoke about previously, where even simple moments can feel colossal. Like Atlas, I didn't ask to carry this, but I do every day. And sometimes the hardest part isn't bearing the weight, it's knowing that there's no one else that can help carry it. Perseus slaying Medusa is often told as a tale of heroism, but to me it carried a different meaning, one of severing ties with a version of myself that had been shaped entirely by pain. Medusa became a symbol of my survival, of the hardened shell I wore to protect what was left beneath. There came a time when I needed to break free from that story, to stop living as the cursed, monstrous version that trauma had forced me to become. In that sense, I became Perseus too, not to destroy Medusa, but to release myself from her grip, to say, I no longer need to wear the face that was forged in suffering. I am allowed to shed that skin. I am allowed to be something more than what was done to me. Tucked up at the back of my arm, near my armpit, watching all of this unfold, the fall, the survival, the rise, the severing, is Thanatos, the Greek god of death. Not violent, not dramatic, just quiet, present, always close. Now obviously I chose a female interpretation of this god to represent the fact that I've always been weirdly attracted to horrifically narcissistic women that have continued to try and further the abuse or twist narratives to frame themselves as victims. Her presence etched into my skin is a reminder of how near I came to surrendering to everything. I felt her beside me not just in moments of crisis, but in the aching stillness afterwards, when letting go feels like a mercy. She's not there to glorify the darkness, but to bear witness to how close I came to becoming a memory. That tattoo is my silent acknowledgement of the edge that I stood on, an edge that if it wasn't for the actions of a few, I might not have come back from. Perhaps the most meaningful tattoo I carry will be the phoenix across my back. Stretching across my shoulders and covering my entire back, the place that once carried the heaviest burdens, this phoenix will be the ultimate symbol of transformation, of burning down and rising again. There were moments in my life where I felt like I had been reduced to nothing but ash, stripped of everything that I thought I was, but I'm still here. Like the phoenix, I've had to rebuild myself piece by piece from the wreckage of my past. And this tattoo reminds me that no matter how many times life tries to break me, I will rise again. Myself and Amy, who will get proper acknowledgement later on, are currently midway through my left arm, a project that has seen me take on one of her own unique designs, a dark female character surrounded in darkness, bearing the quote, dark times. This piece resonated with me, and the ominous nature of the art is referenced in my Icarus piece. I don't fly towards the sun, I often fly towards red flags, despite the warnings, and then somehow wonder why I lay smashed on the rock face. On the inside of the arm is a large octopus pulling a skull down beneath the surface, bearing the inscription, Moris mihi lucrum, which is Latin for death is my reward. A nod to the last 12 months after pouring all of the good I had left into a situation to be rewarded with another brush with whichever god dictates the afterlife. I do have a few ideas on how to continue this up my sleeve as we black out over some more poor decisions I made in my younger days, and obviously then continue across my chest, my ribs, my abdomen, before maybe, perhaps, probably, my neck, throat, and maybe even my head. Sorry, Mum. These pieces will be heavy on mythology and metaphor, but will all represent some aspect of the story that I want to tell across my skin. Beyond the realms of the black and grey myths, my tattoos also reflect a different place of mind, one shaped by fiction, anime, and characters who seem to me like a part of myself being retold. Because sometimes reality isn't enough to explain who we are. Sometimes we demand larger-than-life figures, both heroes and villains, to contain everything contradictory inside of us. Despite my father's light mocking that one day I should get a SpongeBob tattoo, something I might do now just to prove a point, I did decide that my legs, my foundations if you will bear characters from anime who exhibit traits that I either wish to exhibit or already recognise within myself. Obviously I grew up on Dragon Ball Z. It was a show I'd rush home from school to watch with my brother. My left leg is dedicated to characters from this manga or anime. I ended up choosing the modern Dragon Ball Super adaptations of most of these characters because with characters like Broly, this series made them canon and then properly fleshed out their characters. Goku was always a figure to me in relentless pursuit of something that was beyond his limits, whether it be the iconic first Super Saiyan transformation or the more recent ascent into the domain of the gods. He doesn't fight because he hates the opposition. He just loves the fighting, the challenge, just like many martial artists do in the real world. To him, every battle is not a chance to beat death, but it's an experience in training, a period for growth and improvement. And this part of his philosophy is something I've tried to take into my own life. Every time I've been knocked down by rejection, by people who undersold me, or by misfortune, I've had two choices, lie down or get up. And like Goku, I have always got back up, even if sometimes it took a bit of help. This tattoo isn't just a tribute to a character I admire. It's a reminder that no matter how much pain I have been in or how great the odds are stacked against me, I must push on and surpass my limit. On the opposite end of that spectrum, there is Frieza, a character bad to the core, but one whose pettiness and need for control resonate with me in ways I can't deny. Frieza is ruthless, thrives on power, and his fate no doubt suggests that he will come to a bad end. Although I don't aim to be a galactic dictator like Frieza, I do understand the drive for control in a world that is constantly trying to wrest it away from you. After being manipulated, misunderstood, and taken advantage of for years, I identify with Frieza on a raw level. Judge him however you like, but he never lets other people dictate his future. And there is something beautiful in owning the flawed bits of yourselves that others might regard as shameful. My Frieza tattoo is not about being a villain, it's a promise to control my own destiny, an acknowledgement that sometimes my pettiness is my undoing. In Dragon Ball Super, they gave Broly a much better backstory. Born with a natural raw power that made him superior to many around him, he was shunned for it. No matter how strong he was inside, Broly wasn't born a monster, he became one through manipulation and an environment where he was pushed too far, then used as a weapon in revenge, by those who thought him nothing other than a tool for their paths to power. And so, I kind of relate to what it means to be shaped by things outside of your control, to have your very feelings turned against you. Brody's anger never truly belonged to him. It was a product of what had been done to him. And for a long time, I too felt that way. I've often been told that I was too much, too intense, and too unpredictable, when really what I was doing is simply reacting to how people treated me. People often vilify your reaction, but they will rarely recognize the treatment that caused it. This permanent tattoo is a reminder of how I refuse to be a monster, like people have tried to make out I am. Like Broly, I've learned to cultivate my own power. Vegeta's journey lay in his steady self-acceptance, gradual redemption, and his starting to eventually take on an identity at his own discretion. He began as someone who objectively defined himself by his past, by his trauma, his lineage, and for a while, it was pretty much the same with me. But Vegeta eventually grasped that true strength comes not from dwelling on the past, but from learning to live in the present, and from there, carved out a future for himself. This tattoo is a reminder to stop letting my past dictate and control my story. Not as something that has destroyed me, but something that formed me. Dr. Victoria Pitts Taylor, a sociologist, describes tattoos as a rewriting of the body narrative, a way of reclaiming authorship of a story that others tried to write for you. This rings true for a lot of us who live with trauma, autism, neurodivergence, all of the above. Our bodies and identities are often misunderstood, medicalized or pathologized, told they're too much or not enough. But through ink, we get to rewrite our own mythologies. Each piece on my skin is a chapter, not a cover-up of my trauma, but a transformation of it. Dr. Catherine Stamm, in her research on cultural tattooing and healing, said it best. Tattoos do not erase trauma, they make space for it. They give it form, and in doing so, they help it to stop devouring you from the inside. For me, tattoos have helped make my body feel like it's mine again. They've turned pain into permanence, shame into symbolism, and fear into strength. Tattoos don't blot out the past, but they change it. They transform my body from what was like a prison into something perhaps akin to a home. They remind me that whatever I may have endured, I am still here, still standing, still setting my own course, but this time around, I'm the one controlling the pen. Tattoos are more than just ink on skin. They are a language, a form of storytelling that goes beyond words. They can take pain and turn it into something tangible, something beautiful, something mine. None of this would have been possible without the artists who have helped bring my story to life. Key figure in all this has been Amy Lucas. She's played an irreplaceable role in shaping the way I reclaim my past through art. An artist that I'm proud to call a friend. She has taken the weight of my mythology, folklore, my own lived experiences, and transformed them into expressive, powerful works that tell my story exactly the way it's meant to be told. Through her hands, I have rewritten the stories of Icarus, Perseus, Medusa, Atlas, and continue to adapt more stories to my own personal experience. Amy not only transforms my stories to reference my interpretation of Sleep Token's music, she also helps me see through the veil of Eden at the serpents within. Teaming up with Beck Hodgson, the two of them are creating the Phoenix's rebirth as no longer just a legend from story, but as artwork woven into my skin as symbols of my survival. Their artistry has given permanence to my journey, ensuring that every piece etched onto me is not just a reminder of where I've been, but of how far I've come. Their work is more than just tattooing, it is storytelling, healing, and reclamation. For that, and them both, I am endlessly grateful. The anime characters that shape my story, that reflect the strength, the struggle, and contradictions within me, have been brought to life on my skin by Callum Parry. His artistry doesn't just capture the characters, it captures their spirit, their depth, and their meaning to me. Through his work, Goku's relentless will, Vegeta's pride, Frieza's power, and Broly's untamed rage are no longer just something that I can relate to, they are a part of me. If you ever see me and you wonder why my body is covered in mythology and manga, know this. These aren't just tattoos, they are survival stories. They're reminders that no one else gets to write my story, and that no matter how many times I fall, I get back up. Maybe, just maybe, they're a way for me to show the world that the body is mine. I'm still here. Thanks for listening to Navigating Life with Neurodiversity. If this episode resonated, follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Share it with someone you care about or leave a review. It all helps more than you know. Until next time, be kind to yourselves.